the church. It says, keep pressing on. Amen. If there's ever been a time that we need to realize that we're the church, it's today. And that we need to keep pressing on. Amen.
Amen.
One more time. Amen.
Amen.
That's great, church. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer this morning. Ask God's blessing on this service today. Some are unable to be with us due to sickness. Let's remember them in prayer. But it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. CJ, would you take us, Lord, in word of prayer? Do you believe this morning that Jesus is always right on time?
Yes.
Amen. We're going to sing about that this morning. You pray for us and that the Lord would just move in this service today. But I'm glad to know that He is always right on time.
Jesus, your friend's about to die, but tarried he still on behind. So they laid Lazarus in a tomb and said their last goodbye. But coming down the road was Jesus right on time.
Deserts, they were so hot and dry, till it seemed all hope was gone and I would die.
And I wondered, where was he? Is he still a friend of mine? Then coming down the road was Jesus right on time.
Tell you this morning, amen. If Randy, get me back to the key of C, and we're going to go back and we're going to sing that second verse again. I don't know if that song does anything for you at all, but I am here to tell you this morning that Jesus is right on time, amen. If you looked at anything on the news over the weekend, you'll realize that Jesus had come back today. Amen. There's a lot of things going on, and I wouldn't even begin to try and say anything about all those things. I don't have that kind of wisdom. I haven't done that kind of studying, but I'm here to tell you that prophecy is fulfilling itself right before our very eyes at this very time right now. Amen. So we need to pray. If we've ever needed to pray for our nation, we need to pray. Amen. But I'm glad to know that Jesus is coming back, and He's coming soon. And when He does, He'll be right on time. Would you please sing that second verse again? Listen, church.
I've struggled through life's deserts. They were so hot and dry.
Yeah.
Till it seemed all hope was gone and I would die.
And I wondered, where was he? Is he still a friend of mine? Then coming down the road was Jesus, right on time.
He's not too far away, and he knows your need before you pray. So when your feet are weary from the mountain,
praise the Lord this morning. Again, so glad to be in His house today and so glad to see you here. We had some sneak in the side door over there a few moments ago. It's great to see y'all here this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise Him for His goodness, His mercy, His love, His tender care. Praise the Lord. Turn with me this morning, church, and stand and join the choir. Let's sing page number 393, When We All Get to Heaven. Sing now. Here we go.
Sing the wondrous love.
On the last,
onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold, soon the pearly gates will open, we shall reach the goal, if we all get to heaven.
Amen. Thank you. Church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. If you are visiting with us this morning for the first time, we just want to thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. And we just pray that maybe we've already gotten you a visitor's card if you're here for the first time. But is there anyone that maybe we haven't not recognized yet, you don't have a visitor's card, and this is your first time, would you mind just slipping your hand up? We'll get you a visitor's card. It looks like everybody's been here at least once. And we are thankful for that. But if you're visiting, we thank you for choosing this place today to come and worship as we worship together. And please remember several prayer requests. We've got a long list. If you'll get yourself a bulletin in the front or you can go online and find them, I won't take the time to go through them all. But please just remember these in prayer. Let me say it's great to have Brother Don, Miss Carla. I guess Miss Carla is with us in Georgia as well this morning. They've had a little difficulty getting here, but they're here, and it's great to see them, or see Brother Don this morning in the house of the Lord today. We've had some that have gone through some sickness, and I'm glad that you're able to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. And again, many folks are going through some difficult times, but God is good. Amen? And we just want to go to Him in a word of prayer. Let me give you one urgent announcement this morning. As you know, the shoeboxes, I believe that's going to start this coming week, if I'm not mistaken. It's already started already. Well, we have a need. We have a need, and here's what the need is. We need $164 this morning to complete the amount that is needed to be able to take care of the shoeboxes. So $164, if you can help out with that, it'd be greatly appreciated. I don't know if there's a bucket down here in the front, a jar down here in the front. If you can help out with that today, we won't say anything else about it, but we would just want to go ahead and thank you in advance. If you can help, place a little bit of money in the jar on your way out, and I know God will reward you for it. Wouldn't it be something if the dollar that you slipped in the jar this morning gave someone an opportunity to hear about Jesus and they got saved? Over on foreign soil somewhere, a shoebox went to them, went maybe to their family, and maybe a child got that shoebox and opened it up and began to read how Jesus could save them from their sins, and they got gloriously saved. You know, you get halfers on that. And so please, if you can help out with that, I know it'd be greatly, greatly appreciated. And there's a lot of work that goes into getting all these boxes ready and getting them sent off, and we'll talk more about that in the days to come. Yes. All right. Thank you, Brother Harold. Thank you, Brother Harold. God bless your heart. Amen. You still want to give, please give. But it's taken care of. Amen. Give God glory for that this morning. Amen. But there'll be other things as we go down the road. So if you want to help out with that, I know again that God will bless you for it. Thank you, Brother Harold, for your gift this morning. It's amazing how God works, amen? We're so thankful for it. I need you to pray this morning, and I'll share a little bit more about that in a few moments, but the Lord, I believe, has given me a message, and I'm thankful for it, but I need you to pray for me today in a very special way. But again, thank you for being here, and let's go to Him in a word of prayer once again. Ask God's blessing on the service. Ask God's blessing on the offering this morning, both the gift and the giver. And please remember that service tonight is at 5 o'clock downstairs in the fellowship hall. But let's go to Him again in a word of prayer. Brother Ceylon, would you ask God's blessing on the service this morning? As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true.
My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning his mercies are new.
My Redeemer is faithful and true.
My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place I'm preparing for you.
Amen.
And I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true.
Man, I could go back to countless times and tell you how my Redeemer has been faithful and he's been true. There's never been a time where he has left me nor forsaken me. And I'm glad to know that. I'm glad to know it especially this morning as I stand before you today and try my best to preach, I believe, what the Lord has for us. Nothing takes God by surprise. Amen. He knows every soul that's in the building this morning. He never makes mistakes. It's not a coincidence that you are here. It's not a coincidence that I am here this morning. It's the providence and the perfect will of God. And if you have your Bibles with me this morning, if you hear something that sounds somewhat familiar, just say, boy, that's good, amen. We got to hear it again. Turn with me this morning to the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3. The book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3. And we're going to look at one verse there. We're going to look at several verses of Scripture this morning. As I talk to you today about the power of short prayers. The power of short prayers. And in the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3, in verse number 2, it says, look how Habakkuk starts his prayer. He says, O Lord. Have you ever started a statement or started a prayer with just, oh, Lord? Sometimes I'm afraid we might use those words maybe not in exactly the right context, but the Lord knows our heart. Amen. And there's been a lot of times that I've called unto Him and just said, oh, Lord. And He said, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. And then He says again, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. There is something this morning very powerful about the simplicity of Habakkuk's prayer. He doesn't preach us a sermon. He doesn't even try to explain himself. He simply shares what is on his heart. O Lord, revive your work. In a moment of fear and in a moment of uncertainty, God does not run from God. I'm sorry, Habakkuk does not run from God, but Habakkuk runs to God. I would say this morning to the church, in a moment of fear and in a moment of uncertainty. Now let's pause right there for a minute. Would you not agree with me that the things that we have seen on the news just over the past couple of days might cause us to be at a time of fear and at a time of uncertainty? And if we ever needed as a church, as a body of born-again believers to pray, it would be today. And the church said,
amen.
Thank you. That's the truth, isn't it? I believe that we need to pray for the leaders of our nations. You understand? The leaders of the nations. I would say that we need to pray for Israel. If we ever get to the point to where we don't pray and we don't support Israel, we turn our backs on them, would God not also be able to turn His back upon us? We need to pray for our president. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. We've all may have gained some kind of opinion about our president, but it's time that we lay those things aside and carry him before the throne and ask God's will to be done. Amen. It's time that we pray for other nations. Do you realize this morning that there are innocent people that will fall when it comes to times of war? And they need prayer. If the bombs were bursting in the air of Powder Springs, Georgia this morning, would you not want someone to fall on their knees and pray for you. Amen. It's only by the grace of God this morning that we are where we are today. Amen? Would you not also agree with me? Is there anyone in the building this morning that has family members that are in the military? Some do. And I would say across our great nation, many people have watched their young loved ones get on an airplane and go to destinations unknown to fight and to support the United States of America. We stand and we pledge to that flag. One nation. Thank you. Let us never forget it. If there's ever needs to be a time that we pray for those that are on foreign soil this morning, they need our prayers. It doesn't have to be a long, elaborate prayer. Habakkuk says, O Lord, revive your work. In a moment of fear, in a moment of uncertainty, Habakkuk does not run from God, but he runs to God. And he does it with a short prayer filled with reverence, filled with honesty, and filled with faith. Hey, if we don't have faith in God, why would we go to him in prayer anyway? Amen? Have you ever said, Lord, I'm asking you to do this great thing in my life, and I'm going to go ahead and here's what we need to do. Praise you in advance for how you're going to answer. Now, we usually pray and say, Lord, sometimes we'll say, Lord, if it be your will, but what we're really thinking is, I need my will to be done. I need you to answer this thing, and he did it my way. That's Elvis, in case y'all didn't remember. But we need to pray that God's will be accomplished. Amen? And sometimes it's just in a short prayer of faith. Sometimes I'm afraid we think, if that was the Lord, please let him know I'm here. I'm doing my best. Sometimes I'm afraid that we think prayer has to be this long bunch of gathered up words for it to be effective. But the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what does he say? Availeth much. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We think that power comes with length or with eloquence. But the Bible tells us a different story. Short prayers offered with faith produce profound results. They always have. And if we pray in faith, thank God this morning, they always will. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. And as you turn there this morning, your mind may be thinking, oh, wait a minute, I think I know where he might be going. In Matthew, chapter number 6, and we're going to look at verses 9 through verse number 13. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, I don't know if you notice in my Bible, those words are what color? That means who's speaking? Amen. So maybe we should pay attention. Jesus himself gave us what we know here in these verses to be the Lord's Prayer. It says, In the heading of these verses in my Bible, it says, the new revelation concerning prayer. And Jesus, because we know it's him speaking in red words, says this in verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. It took us about a minute, maybe a minute and a half, if we really take our time and go through those words. There are 68 words. A prayer that takes about a minute and a half. That's all. And yet it covers so many things that are so important to us. First of all, it covers the very will of God. And then it covers the provision of God. Think about that. It covers forgiveness. It covers protection. And it covers daily dependence on God. Out of everything that Jesus could have given us, he gives us a short prayer as a model on how to pray. I shared last weekend that when I go to the Lord in prayer, I have a need, and we all have them. There's not a one of us in this building that doesn't need to call on God in prayer from time to time. Amen. I remember Brother T.D. Burgess would stand here and he would come for Jubilee. And usually one of the first things that he would say would be, he would say, spend 15 minutes in prayer every day. You think that'll change your life? Change some lives anyway. Amen. And then he would say, spend 15 minutes in the reading of the Word of God. That will change our life. And I would venture to say, if we spend time in prayer and we begin to ask, what you first of all need to do, here's what I always say. Lord, first of all, I need to ask you to forgive me of my sins. You see, I'm still just an old sinner. But I'm glad to know this morning that I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Boy, that ought to have us all up on our feet at one time. I'm so glad to know that I'm a sinner saved by grace. And then I always say, Lord, would you please cleanse me? We can't approach the throne room of God dirty before him. Amen. There's a lot to be said about that. But I always say, Lord, first of all, forgive me of my sins. And secondly, I say, Lord, cleanse me of my sins and all of my unrighteousness. You know why I do that? Because I want him to hear me. And he's not going to hear me, Jeff, if I'm dirty before him. So that's just a little clue. That didn't cost you a dime. Pray, Lord, forgive me. Pray, Lord, cleanse me. And Scripture is filled with short prayers. And when you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, cleanse me, and we all have needs and we all have things that we carry before him. Go with the attitude that, hey, I've got faith that God is going to answer. Amen? If you don't believe he's going to answer, there's no sense in coming. He said, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. So if you have a need, hey, bring it to the Lord in prayer and cast it at his feet. He's able. And when we do that, we need to pray in faith, believing that God is going to answer. Now, sometimes the answer is just a definite yes. And boy, we love and shout those times out, don't we? Sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes the answer is, as bad as we hate to say it, it's wait. It's wait. Those, though, that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We shared this a few weeks ago. Mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. But sometimes we have to wait. But that's okay, because that too will strengthen our faith. I said a few moments ago, Scripture is filled with examples of short prayers, and we can gain so much from them. In the book of 1 Kings, you don't have to turn there unless you like. I'm going to look at chapter number 18. And we're going to start somewhere, how about chapter 18? We'll just read a few verses. And verse number 17 says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Thou hast followed Balaam." Look at verse 21. "And Elijah came into all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Look at verse number 25. It says, "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, and nobody answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing something else, or he's on a journey, or peradventure maybe he's asleep. And he's got to be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after that manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass that when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was no answer, and not anyone regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people," you might want to gather around me and watch this, "and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it a second time. And he did a second time. And he said, Do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And when the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water, and it came to pass at the time of the offering and of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said," I know that's been a lot of reading, but listen, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all the things of thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." You know the end of the story. God sent fire down from heaven. You seen any fire that would challenge water lately? Water would usually put out fire, amen? But the Bible says that everything, including the water, was consumed. I would tell you this morning that in a matter of just a few words, 64 of them to be exact, prayer and fire, 64 words of prayer, and fire fell from heaven, revival came to Israel, and a famine was broken after 3.5 years. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Again, I know that's a lot of reading, but hang with me. Do you remember Peter prayed? He prayed one sentence, and a demon-possessed woman was set free. How about the short prayer that Peter prayed? here we are out in the middle of a storm, and you look out there and you see Jesus. He's out there walking on the water. It's all foggy and cloudy and everything. And they said, Lord have mercy, who is that? This is like a ghost out there. And Peter steps over to the side of the boat and he says, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come unto thee. And he said, Peter, come on. Old Peter jumps down, steps off the side of the boat. He's walking on water toward the Lord. Amen. And you know the story. He takes his eyes off of Jesus and he sees the storm. And all of a sudden he begins to sink. One of the greatest short prayers ever prayed and has ever been recorded in the Word of God was when Peter said, Lord, save me. Jesus reached out and he took him by the hand and he saved him. He got him back inside the boat, and you remember what the Lord said? He said, oh, Peter, oh, ye of little faith, you got to be kidding me. There wasn't none of them other jokers done stepped off the side of the boat. Amen. But the Lord said, oh, ye of little faith. But what a prayer. Lord, save me. We'll talk about that again here in just a few minutes. Lord, save me. In the book of Hezekiah, Paul prayed a 14-word prayer in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, and deliverance came. In the book of Hezekiah, there was a 29-word prayer. In Isaiah, chapter number 38, and God added 15 years to his life. 29 words changed a death sentence. And then there's the prayer of Jabez. In the book of 1 Chronicles, if you want to turn with me, you can. Again, I know there's a lot of turning this morning. But in the book of 1 Chronicles, in chapter number 4 and verse number 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. 33 words. A short prayer that carries a lifelong prayer and cry for blessing, for purpose, for God's presence, and again, God's protection. This is why the Bible says that we need to pray without ceasing. Now, we get this idea that the Bible says pray without ceasing. That means we need to be walking around everywhere saying, oh, Lord, I need you to do this. Oh, Lord, I need you to do that. Oh, Lord. People are going to think you're nuts. They may already. It's not that he's saying that we need to walk everywhere and everything that we do, that we need to be praying all the time, right? Not literal words. Nor is he saying that we must spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our knees. Now, that might be a good thing. It might keep us out of a lot of trouble, amen? But he's not asking us to spend 24/7 on our knees in prayer. But he's telling us that what we need to do is we need to have an attitude of prayer. Uh-huh. Our heart needs to be settled on prayer to the Lord. If we have an attitude of prayer, that'll change our attitude, amen? Some folks in the building this morning got an attitude, I'm just saying. We all do, one time or another, don't we? You ever told one of your kids, hey, pal, it's time that you change your attitude. It might be this morning, if we were to look in the mirror, the Lord might be saying, hey, it's time that you change your attitude. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. But we need to have an attitude of prayer. And we need to spend time in prayer. We need to put God first in our life. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. Is anybody in here this morning, would you be willing to say there's times that you worry? I don't see any hands across the building. There we go. We're being honest now. There's times that we worry. We do. Hey, after raising 4 children, there's times that I worry. And now we've got dozens, it seems, of grandchildren, and it just causes me sometimes to worry. My wife is listening this morning, I am sure. But I would say this morning that my wife many times is given to worry. Her mother was a worrier, Cassie. And there's a lot of times that we would say, Miss Betty, you're just going to worry yourself sick. I can't help it. I'm worried about them grandkids. I spend a lot of time worrying about my children and my grandchildren. And most of us in this building do, don't we? Unfortunately. But if it's worth worrying about, then it's worth praying about. Prayer changes things. Amen. I woke somebody up right there. Prayer changes things. Praise the Lord. What about this? Maybe it would change things if we took things to prayer before we took them to Facebook. Yeah, you're preaching right there. Amen. Is that the truth? If we took those to God first before we took them to Facebook, or if we spent as much time in prayer as we spent on the internet, things might be different in our life. Yeah. That kind of stings, doesn't it? It's off. I'm not up here. I have it with me, though. It's close, you know. But if I spend as much time in prayer and in the Word of God as I spent on this rascal, it might forevermore change my life. I'm just being honest with you. The first thing I did this morning was reached over and grabbed this. You know why? Because it's also my alarm clock. It says it's time to get up. But then I got my cup of coffee, Ceylon, and I took it into the living room and I sat down. And y'all know we're looking for a house and we're praying the Lord would help us to get this one sold. My agent said we're going to sell the house in March. You know what today is? March 1st, hallelujah. I'm going to call her as soon as I get out of here. And we'll just see how excited she is about getting this thing sold. It's March 1st. But the first thing I did was went to Zillow. I'm being honest with you. And I went to Realtor.com. And I went to houses in Carroll County. I went to houses in Paulding County. Because I'm trying my best to try and find something. We're also looking for a vehicle. If anybody's got a good used vehicle out there, it's hard to work three or four jobs when you ain't got but one car and your wife's working. I'll be waiting. Y'all see me after church. So I thought, well, I'll just Google it and see if there's any good used cars out there. I did all that this morning in a matter of about 15, 20 minutes. And then it hit me this morning. I challenged some folks last Sunday night and said, I challenge you, if you'll spend your first 15 minutes in prayer, it'll change your life. And even right now I say, uh-oh. But if we spent as much time in prayer as we did on the internet, if we spent as much time in the Word of God, Hassan, as we spent on this phone, it would make a difference in our life. Are there things that we gain from it? Yeah, absolutely. We get some of the greatest things sometimes. People sending prayer requests and we're contacting one another. I love it when somebody sends me a text and says, I just want to let you know, I got some texts this week. I don't know who they are. I don't know what phone it came from. I don't know what the number was. If it was you, thank you. But they said, I just want you to know that you are in my prayers. Hallelujah. That's great. And we do need to pray for one another. But we need to spend more time with God in prayer and in His Word than we do on Facebook or the internet. Boy, that stings. Pray about your children. Pray for your grandchildren instead of worrying about them. Have you ever heard somebody say, I told you a minute ago, my mother-in-law was saying, I'm just about to worry myself sick, is the word she used. And you know what? You will. You will worry yourself until you are sick. Or, take it to the Lord in prayer. Change your life. Amen. You can do all of those things, or you can pray. Pray about your needs. Pray about your help. Just open your mouth and talk to God. Let your prayer be simple. Let your prayer be short. But let your prayer be sincere. Sometimes a short prayer is all it takes to awaken a powerful move of God. I am honest with you this morning. Several weeks ago, we've been real serious about praying about this situation with the house, and I am honest before you. I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, we need your move on this situation with the house. And I don't know anything else to say, Lord, other than just to say, I'm trusting in you. And I said, amen. I promise you, it wasn't 5 minutes, Brother Don, till we got a text and then a phone call from our agent and said, you need to be out of the house in 15 minutes. Somebody is on the way to see it. Hallelujah. I went running in the living room. Terry was in there saying that. I said, well, God does answer prayer. It may not affect you as much as it did me, but boy, it did something for me. To know that God answers our prayer. Was it the one? No. But it was encouraging to know that God heard my prayer and just sent somebody by my way. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Prayer is all it takes, a short prayer, to awaken a powerful move of God. I want to close with some scripture this morning out of the book of Luke, chapter number 23. Luke, chapter number 23. And we're going to look at verses 39 through verses 43. As we think about a short prayer. In the book of Luke, chapter 23 and verse 39, it says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, does thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, this is the other one, the one over on the other side, Jesus hanging suspended between heaven and earth. He is there dying for my sins and yours. And we've got two thieves, one on each side. And one of them saying, hey, if you be who you are, won't you save yourself and us? Get us down from here. What in the world are you thinking, Jesus? But this man, he says, and he said unto Jesus, here's those words again, Lord, remember me. Amen. When thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, I love this. Verily I say unto thee, when? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. I remember as a 15-year-old young man, I was sitting about where Miss Glenda's sitting, but in the middle aisle of a church down in Smyrna, Georgia, Welcome Grove Baptist Church. I'll never forget it as long as I live. We were singing in a group. I know I've shared this before, but I believe it just is what the Lord wants me to share this morning. Just be patient with me for a second. We were singing in a group. We traveled around singing everywhere. All over the Southeast, we sang everywhere. We sang for about 15 years together. That was me and Terry and Miss Jackie. We sang. But before that, I was singing with just my family. And we would go into these little bitty churches. There wasn't any carpet on the floor. There wasn't any padding on the pews, but I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost was there that night. Now, we had gotten up, we had sung, and went back and sat down. I knew all the words. I knew all the songs. I played a little bit of guitar, and we just had a good old time. But we got down there, and I sat about halfway back on that side over there, and the preacher began to preach the Word of God with the power and the anointing of God. And the Holy Spirit so filled that place that night. And He came and He visited me where I was sitting. And when the service was over, the preacher said, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, and if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you tonight, would you please come to this altar and ask the Lord to save you and forgive you of your sins? I'm telling you, I reached out, Brother Jeff, and I grabbed a hold of that pew so tight there's probably sawdust on the floor. I was squeezing it so hard. But Brother Don, he said, if you'll just take the first step, I stepped out. I took one step. And the Lord Jesus, He said, Miss Lee Ellen, He said, I got you. And I went down and I fell in an altar. And I knelt down and I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins because I knew that I was a sinner. And just as well as I'm standing here this morning, He came into my heart and I was born again. Amen. I was gloriously saved because I asked Him. And I said the same thing. I said, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, remember me. He looked back 2,000 years before that time. And He said, oh, son, I remember you. I remember you because I died for you. And I wouldn't try to complicate it this morning. All you've got to do if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, is come to an altar and just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and save me. Lord, save me. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I would ask you to please, please take the one step. I promise you, somebody will meet you in an altar. Brother Randy, would you come this morning? And I want us to sing, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And we'll be doing that here in just a few moments. But if you're here this morning and you have never been saved, I do not believe that this message this morning was a coincidence. I don't believe that it was an accident that I would be standing before you this morning. But I want to ask for everyone in the building to please bow your head just for a moment and close your eyes. If you're here and you have been saved, would you please pray for that one that's here this morning that maybe has never been saved? It might be somebody that you know. It may not be someone that you know. But if there's someone here today that has never accepted Jesus as your Savior, would you be willing this morning to say, Brother Allen, all I just want to do is slip my hand. I promised you last week I would never come to you. I would never embarrass you for anything. I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm just going to ask you, would you be willing just to slip your hand up and say, Brother Allen, I've never been saved. Would you please pray for me? Would you please do that this morning? I've never been saved. Would you please just pray for me? And that's what I'll do. Oh, I see your hand. Greater than that, God sees your hand. Church, pray. Pray that someone would have the confidence to step out and just walk an aisle and let someone take the Word of God and show them how they can be saved this morning. Thank you for your hand. You can place it down. Church, pray. Someone needs to be saved this morning. There may be someone else. I don't know. I wouldn't limit God this morning. Maybe someone else. Maybe you just want to go ahead and slip out of your aisle and slip out and come down to the altar and let somebody take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. Don't wait another week.
Don't wait another day. Don't wait another minute. Go ahead and slip out and come down and let somebody show you how you too can be saved. The Lord wants to save you. Just say those words to Him this morning. Lord, save me. Maybe you're here and you have been saved. Maybe you know someone that hasn't. Or maybe, church, you may want to just come down and pray for that one that was willing to raise their hand this morning and say, I'm lost and stand in need of a Savior. If we have ever needed to pray as a church, we need to pray. If you're here this morning, you want to step out. You want to come. You want to call on the Lord. He wants to do something great in this place today. Church, if you'll stand with me, still every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to sing one verse of I Surrender All. Church, pray. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence day. I'll tell you what I'm going to do this morning. I promised you, and I'll be a man of my word. I will never embarrass you. I would never come to you for anything. But here's what I'm going to do while the church sings. I'm going to walk from this point all the way to the back door. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk back this way. And if you just need somebody to hold onto your hand and come and pray with you, I'll do that. I surrender all. Do you just need to be saved this morning? You step out. I'll walk with you down there. That's just what I feel like the Lord would have me to do today. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't come to you. I promised you I wouldn't. But the Lord told me to do this, so that's what I'll do. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk to the altar. You want to step out and come with me? I'll show you from the Word of God. Brother Don's here this morning. Brother Ceylon's here. Many others are here that can show you how to be saved. But if you just need somebody to walk with you, I'm here, and I'll walk with you. And you can be gloriously saved this morning. I surrender all. Would you come? Come with me. I surrender. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. anyone else just need to come and pray? You may be here this morning, you say, I just feel a little backward, or maybe I'm a little embarrassed. Maybe I don't really feel comfortable coming out in a crowd, and I understand that. But would you do yourself this favor this morning, and would you find someone before you leave here? Maybe slip into a Sunday school class. Somebody will take you back to a Sunday school class and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Thank you this morning. Thank you for your attention, church. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Again, I believe that it was the Lord's will, and I believe that I have preached what the Lord would have for us this morning. I didn't want to say this before because I didn't want you to have any kind of different feelings or anything about the service today, but I knew it after choir practice that I was going to be the one that would be preaching for you and standing in God's place this morning, but I am thankful. And I pray that this message has been something that would have touched your heart, maybe be a help to you in the days to come. I truly thank you for your attendance, your attention, and thank God for the movement of the Holy Spirit today. Would you continue to pray for that one that's lost? Amen. Thank you again for being here today. Anything else before we leave? There's still some that are praying. If you'll leave this area quiet down here this morning as they continue to pray. If not, if you'll turn around and shake hands with somebody, tell them it's been good to have seen them in the house of the Lord today. You can see, consider yourself dismissed. We'll see you this evening at 5 o'clock. Brother CJ will be bringing our message this evening, so you be much in prayer for him. Thank you.